The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.
We're continuing our series on economic liberty, and I want to talk a little bit about our use of words. After a while, words mean what they usually mean. If everybody misuses a word, and they do so for several centuries, then they have successfully changed the meaning of that word. Words like conservative or capitalist get shanghaied, and there you are, left muttering that you didn't really want to conserve the great society, and that you prefer capitalism, not this mutant form of what I call crapitalism. But let's deal with the substance and not with the words. Let's not talk about what we call it. Let's talk about what it actually is. A free market means that you need to have the freedom to fail. A free market means you have to have the freedom to fail. If you don't have the freedom to fail, then your economic transactions are answerable in the last analysis to some regulator or bureaucrat and not to God. And depend upon it, that regulator or bureaucrat will screw it up. God has built accountability into the world. He is not mocked. But if you insist on having the government step in every time somebody new is going to learn what comeuppance means, then you are at war with the concept of accountability. And we saw this in recent years with when people said, well, these banks are too big to fail. Well, if they're too big to fail, then that means you've said they're too big to be accountable. And what happens when you have gargantuan entities that have no accountability? Accountability is the word that the minions of Congress keep using. They keep saying we have to have accountability. They're waving it around as though it sets up some kind of mystical aura of protection, which it actually does for them. They're not trying to they're protecting themselves. Insisting on accountability for others means that they can forestall accountability for them. It's a very useful word. Keep in mind the fact that whenever you see politicians, whenever you see congressmen or senators saying we desperately need tax reform, we need tax reform, or we need entitlements reform, or we need XYZ reform or ABC reform. When politicians are talking about reforming the tax code, they are talking about reforming what Congress did the last time. Right? And that's not accountability. If they can just always keep tinkering with it, that's a problem. They're using accountability as a magic word. They're not using accountability the way it's intended to be used. When you have true accountability, you have hard things happen if you screw it up. So if someone is rock climbing, is there accountability in rock climbing? Yes, if you make a mistake, it could be fatal. Right? There's accountability. It's rough justice kind of accountability, but it's true accountability. We are told that we have to intervene because all these financial entities are quote unquote too big to fail. But this simply assumes that for the Fed to step in this way is not setting us up for an even greater failure down the road, just a little ways. Virtually all government crises, including this latest one, whatever it is, are the result of the previous waves of reform that all the intelligent people were demanding back then. But having Congress oversee the economic markets of a nation like ours is like having a chimp disassemble your laptop computer for a little troubleshooting. Suit yourself. And when things go really badly, computer-wise, Nancy Pelosi can insist that the next time this happens, we will take steps to ensure that the chimp repairmen are only allowed to use their thumbs. The next proposed reform is not going to be better. The chances are pretty good that it won't be. We really do get the government we deserve. Virtually every elected lunatic that we see on the tube demanding during every political silly season is consistently returned to Congress with loud shouts of triumph. If people were to ask me what we can do to survive the 9 miles of bad road that appear to be just ahead of us, my advice would be this: cultivate, really cultivate, a deep and a robust sense of humor. And that's not possible unless God is in his heaven. So realize that we don't have the authority, we don't have the ability, we don't have the competence to oversee anything like a large economy. We have the right to suppress a price here or to subsidize an industry there, but we're nowhere near a competence level that would enable us to oversee an economy. So we've already established that wealth can be a blessing from God, but wealth is by no means the highest blessing that God can bestow. As you set your priorities for the vocation of money management, a couple of things should be in line ahead of profit. Before we get money right, we have to get our priorities right. But to get our priorities right, we have to know what priorities are. What are priorities? We all know what is meant when a cliche is invoked. Setting priorities means, quote unquote, more quality time with the kids, for example. But too often we just invoke such a phrase as though it were a mantra, and the content of our priorities just assumed, which means they are picked up from the culture around us. But we cannot measure such things by assumed standards. A man spends a third of his life asleep, but it would be wrong to assume that sleeping has a higher priority for him than, say, worship does. I spend an hour and a half worshiping on the Lord's Day on Sunday, and I spend 8 hours a day, 7 or 8 hours a day, sound asleep. Time as a measurement is not the only standard. By what standard must we set our priorities when it comes to the question of wealth? The Bible tells us explicitly what is better than wealth. What should we value more than we value wealth? What should we rather have than great riches? Again, the Bible tells us. First, we must get wisdom before wealth. And that's what I'm giving you here, not $20 bills. The point is made again and again in Proverbs, so it will not hurt to make it again here. The writer of Proverbs was a great believer in repetition. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Proverbs 3:13-15. Here's another one. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Proverbs 16:16. There is gold in a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverbs 20:15. Now such comparison, note, wisdom over against gold and silver, wisdom over against gold, understanding over against silver. Gold and rubies are compared to their detriment to the lips of knowledge. Such comparisons are made for a reason. God doesn't say better to have a gold than a truckload of cabbages. You know, he's comparing these two things because we might be tempted to pick the wrong one, as when these two things come up for a choice, and we have the option to choose wisdom over gold, we might well choose gold over wisdom. Such comparisons are made for a reason. God wants us to weigh in our minds the relative value of gold, silver, and gems over against the value of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So self-consciously and deliberately, we should make the comparison. How would we behave if our teacher at school or the preacher at church scattered gold coins across the floor? Would we pay closer attention to what was going on than we do now? The words of Scripture are the words of wisdom. So when Scripture is read, we should be attentive. When we read the Bible, we should be attentive. It should, you read your Bible like you're opening a bag of gold coins. You treasure it. Now this is very important. When we set priorities in a carnal and very foolish way, we want to compare the value of having 100K to having 50K. That's our tendency. Robert P. Greedy Buckets III prefers the former. He prefers 100K. And Ron Sider prefers the latter. He prefers 50K. The 50K is all right because you have to have some money in order to buy all the hair shirts a guilty white guy must go through. But the Bible doesn't really make this kind of comparison. everything else being equal, it's better to have 100K than 50K. The Bible doesn't say better to, you know, we know that already. It's better to be healthy than sick. It's better to not have a pain in your head than to have a pain in your head. It's better to have more money, not less money. That's not where we're tempted to trip up. Other things are rarely equal, which is why this scripture speaks in the way cited above. It's better to have 50K with wisdom than 100K without it. That's the way the Bible speaks. It's better to be 50K to the good and wise than 100K to the good and stupid. Wisdom is better than money, so make your choices when you have to make them well. Here's another point of comparison, another thing that the Bible compares to wealth. Another point of comparison is found in the relationship of money and righteousness. Better a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Proverbs 16:8. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the fool who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs 19:1. It is better to be poor if one has integrity and righteousness than to be rich and perverse, rich and unjust. Here's the third thing. Here's another thing. Another thing that we should prefer to wealth is a good name. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than with silver and gold. The rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. Proverbs 22:1 and 2. A good name is especially important in the world of vocation, business, and work. What constitutes a good name in business, for example? Christians must seek a good name through 1. Work managed with wisdom. 2. Work conducted with absolute honesty in fact. 3. Work done with absolute honesty in appearance. 4. Hard work. 5. Work completed on time. 6. Not taking advantage in work done for brothers. 7. Work which does not depend upon a quote-unquote scheme. And 8. Work which understands propriety. The loss of a good name is hard to repair. The fact that you might lose your reputation if you don't do it that way is not unfair, but rather one of the ordinary costs of doing business. People recommend businesses or not all the time. This is as it should be. We should also prefer contentment to wealth, which indicates, incidentally, that wealth is not the creator of contentment. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. That's in Proverbs 30:8-9. Fundamentally, this is a prayer for contentment. Lord, please give me a portion suited for me. If I get more than that, I will be tempted one way. If I get less than that, I will be tempted in another. It may sound odd, but many Christians have not learned contentment with their blessings any more than they have with their trials. Humility is better than wealth also. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16:19. Pride is often thought to be the badge of the fat cats. Rather, it is their shame. And last, there's calm, quietness, and love. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. That's Proverbs 15:16-17. As you structure your household in the pursuit of wealth that is blessed by God, notice no one should be pursuing wealth. They should be pursuing wealth that is blessed by God. Have you remembered this? Are you comparing the wealth that you have or the wealth that you would like to have to the things that God commands you to compare them to? Are you comparing your wealth or future wealth to wisdom? Are you comparing your future wealth to a good name? Are you comparing your wealth to humility? Scripture does not tell us that money displaces all such blessings automatically, but our fallen world functions in such a way that brings us to intersections frequently, where we must decide whether to go right or left. Let us say that going left is toward Fat City, and to go right is to go toward wisdom or a good name or contentment or humility or calm at the dinner table. The Bible tells us consistently to go right, and we often discover if we do so with a sincere heart, that God blesses us the same way he did with Solomon. Because we did not grasp for the thing we ought not to have preferred, we receive what we chose, along with material blessings as well. Seek first, as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. You make the right choice, you have the right priorities, you set the priorities the way God tells you to set the priorities, and that means that you often get the other thrown in. We should treat this as a gracious promise received by faith, and not as something for us to view with a calculating eye. So keep in mind that we want to define, to sum up this podcast, if we should keep in mind that the people who are running, they're not running the economy. The people who are attempting to run the economy are doing so because they're arrogant. They're not humble. Because they're discontent. They're not contented. They have the people wanting to run our economy, generally politicians and officious bureaucrats and regulators, have chosen the wrong thing. So when the Bible tells us, here's wealth and here's humility, choose humility. Here's wealth and here's contentment, choose contentment. Here's wealth, here's a good name, choose a good name. We want consistently in our private lives to go the right way when we're doing that. The people who are wanting to manage all the wealth that we have are consistently choosing the wrong thing. They're not choosing contentment. They're not choosing humility. They're not choosing a good name. They're not choosing all these things. And they think that that's their qualification to run the economy, which is why they almost always run it straight into a ditch.
New St. Andrews College thanks you for listening.